every year, we like to kick off the year with a new, just a new theme and a new idea for you to think about, for you to take to heart as we head into a new school year. And you guys, those of you who started school and those of you who are getting ready to have an incredible opportunity ahead of you. And as you see in front of you, this idea, the shirts we're wearing tonight and the theme for this semester is curious. And as we thought through this word and this theme, we thought about the first thing we've got to figure out is, does God want our lives to be curious? Does he want our lives to stand out? Because here's my contention, is that I believe a lot of folks out there, a lot of students, are looking for someone who leads a curious life. And not just students, but adults as well. They're looking for someone who you would take note of their life. When you saw them, the way they lived, the way they loved people, the way they served Christ, you would look at them and go, Kelly, I'm so curious about what that means. And I think one of the biggest things that we struggle with is that our lives look so much like the lives around us. And as I read the scripture and as you read the scripture, the one thing we see that isn't true is God doesn't call us to be ordinary. God doesn't call us to look like everybody else. God calls us to live a curious life, one that is salty and one that brings light into a world that's very dark. And as I challenged myself with this, I started thinking about my life a little bit. And I was talking to a guy named, an old leader of ours that was a co-leader in our small group named Ryan McNaughton, a guy that led with us. Some of y'all remember Ryan and Stephanie. Well, Ryan had told me that Ryan's now is an officer candidate school, and he's going to be a pilot. And he's out there training and doing all that stuff. And he just said, man, bro, I want to tell you. He said, one thing that's really cool is Watermark, and God used Watermark to really prepare me for this time in the military. And he said, what's so crazy is I'm just living life in the way that I believe it would honor the Lord. I just want to love Christ and love others. And I get in conversations with people all the time about Jesus Christ. And you know what I thought about for you guys? You're probably thinking, man, I'm here in Dallas, and everybody knows about Jesus. Everybody's heard about him. See, in this military area that he's in, there's a lot of folks that don't know him and are far from him. And so I started thinking about, for your lives and for my life to look curious, we have to take it even a step farther. We have to ask the Lord to make our lives even more reflective of him. We all should always strive for that and always want to have a heart and a life that reflects Christ. But here, it's even tougher because we've kind of bought into this lie that our lives look, there's a certain level of Christianity that's okay. And I'm going to tell you what I think those things are. Just give you a little idea what I'm talking about. Going to church is cool, okay, most of the time. All right? You can hang out at church. You can hang out, go to a Christian school. You can do all kinds of stuff that people would say, that's okay. That doesn't stand out too much. That's not so curious. But when you start to do, I don't know about you guys this morning, those of you at church this morning, even though I know what, you know, the drama that Aaron was in today, then he's really not, he really does speak English because you heard him on stage today. But the drama that he was in today, I even after knowing that that's right, I don't know about you guys, I felt so convicted and uncomfortable watching that thing play out. And I thought, you know what, an area that the Lord needs to take ground in my life is the area of gossip. He just needs to. And it's an area that it's probably real subtle with me, but I was convicted. I went, man, Lord, one area that I want to grow in and I want my life to be curious, where people would say, Bron, how come you don't talk about everybody else in a way that is bad about them? Because we all do it. And so I thought to myself, man, Bron, there is an area that you could have lead a much more curious life. And so you guys are in these schools right now. There's certain things that are okay, but if you began to love people the way we talked about this morning, or if you began to really stand for Christ and you really took some hard stands, you would lead a curious life, and maybe one that's persecuted in some ways. Ones where people would say, you know what, I'm not sure I want to hang with you anymore because you are taking that a little too far. And you know what, that's exactly what I think the Lord wants us to do. Man, here's what I'd spur you on and encourage you. Take it as far as the Spirit of the Lord would allow you. And you know what? Some of that, here's what's really incredible and a great opportunity for you, is there are tons of opportunities right now to serve people and love people. I think the one thing I would tell you is that we live in a very, 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 very selfish culture. And everybody is concerned about me. That James passage, you know, the quarrels among you, it's because you want to get what you want. It's your own desires. And so the way that we stand out in this culture, the way we could live a curious life is really important. And gang, here's what I'm going to tell you tonight. You cannot do it alone this year. You will not be able to stand out like you want to. Look at these verses real quick. In 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, I think we're up, are we up to one forward? Anyway, so dear brothers and sisters, you are foreigners and aliens here. So I warn you to keep away from evil desires because they fight against your very souls. Be careful how you live among your unbelieving neighbors. Even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will believe and give honor to God when he comes to judge the world or the day he visits us. Let me tell you, what that verse is saying is aliens and strangers, we've all talked about this before probably. You may have heard this, maybe you haven't. If an alien or stranger came in this room, we would take note. Okay? We'd take note, hey, there's an alien. We wouldn't just go, huh, that's cool. Just come in and sit with us. Okay? We would take note. We would notice that. And that's what I think Peter's saying here so clearly. Man, you're not to fit in. You're not to look like an alien in this room or an alien at your school would stand out. Okay? And what I love what it says there, as I read that to you, be careful how you live among your unbelieving neighbors. Even though they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior. Guys, that is the challenge right there. They're going to accuse you of doing wrong. They're going to say this to you, okay? They're going to say, man, you are missing out on where life is. You are way too into that Christian thing. They just are. And you know what? And if they don't know Christ, don't expect them to react any differently. Man, if I didn't know Christ, I love what Paul says. He said, man, if Jesus didn't die and raise from the dead, then let's eat, drink, and be merry and live it up because there's no reason why we shouldn't. So don't get frustrated with folks who don't know Christ around you, who are living a life that's far from what the Bible calls it because they don't know. But here's what God wants you to do. Live such good lives among them that they look at your life and go, man, that's curious. Why would you live that way? Why would you love me that way? Why would you want to serve me? Why would you not do the things that others are doing? And guys and girls, you have a great opportunity. Don't be deceived this year. You have opportunity all around you, all the time. Here's what I think the problem is we are not in tune with the Spirit of the Lord. We're going to go into this year and we want our lives to be curious, but we're going to just try our best to live good lives and we are going to get whipped. I hope that's not the case. I hope it's not the case for me. Every time that I try to live a life, I try to just kind of live a curious life for myself, and I try to strive to be someone who's good, a good guy, a good dad, a good husband, all those things, a good youth pastor, whatever. When I do that, I always end up whipped, tired, worn out, and frustrated. See, everybody around us that's striving, here's what I think. When we're trying to live a curious life without really knowing Christ, we're going to strive to be good people, and it will always leave us tired. Some of you guys came out for summer this summer, and I want to ask you this. If we had a little roll of film here, and I opened it, we went and developed that film, and it was snapshots of your summer, and we took pictures of your summer, and we came and developed, and would that look curious to an unbelieving world? Would that be such an honorable life that they would look at you and go, Callie, that's just so curious. I love the way that you live for Christ. I love the way you serve others. What would it look like? My wife's a big scrapbooker. If we opened up your scrapbook of life this summer, what would it look like? And I want you to think about that this week. I want you to think about what would the pictures of my life look like. I can tell you some of mine that I'm not too proud of. An impatient daddy. I can tell you that lots with his boys. And just having to go, Lord. And you know what? I get whipped every time I strive to be Mr. Patience. I was reading today in Galatians 6, just actually 5, just talking about when I try to do it on my own, when I'm not in tune with the Spirit, here's all the junk that comes out. When I walk in the Spirit, here's what that produces. And guess what? I could look at my life and go, man, here's the flesh stuff coming out. I went to a concert this summer. I told the juniors and seniors about this. My first country music concert, okay? I went and saw Kenny Chesney, okay? And anybody else there? Matthew was. He invited me, huh? I didn't see it. Just kidding. There's a lot of people there, okay? And I want to tell you, I came to that concert, and really, to be honest, the first non-Christian concert I've ever been to, okay? And so I just said, this would be great. This would be fun. I actually went to Tim McGraw. I had my country fill that weekend, okay? I went to Tim McGraw and Faith Hill the night before, and then I went to Kenny Chesney. And when I went to Kenny Chesney, I was sitting there, and I was watching these crowds of people, 25,000 or whatever was there, more than we have here tonight. And I remember looking out over this crowd, and I thought, man, this is just a ton of people. And I was watching this overwhelming group of folks just into the music, and everything. It was fun. But the Lord, about halfway through, just burdened my heart. And I looked out, and what the Lord kind of laid on my heart that night was, this is 25,000 folks, for the most part, who are looking to escape. Okay, now that is no reflection on country music or secular music. I'm not talking about that, okay? What I'm talking about is, I watched a lot of people getting drunk off out of their minds around me, and I chose not to that night. Okay, never. But anyway, so I was up there, and I was watching all these people just acting crazy, and I thought, you know what? This is really a sad deal. That life, because life for them is, I've got to kind of strive for the week, try to be a good person. I'm tired. I'm frustrated with life. Life is not fair. It's not good. I got this bad job. I'm going to go out, and I'm going to go live it up at the Kenny Chesney concert. I heard guys say stuff that I can't repeat here, but I was just so burdened, y'all. I didn't look at them and go, oh, those sinners. What I did was I went, now listen, hey, some of us feel that way, if we're honest. But what I did was I looked out and thought, man, God, there are so many people who don't know you. Shh. There are so many people who don't know you, Lord. That's what I thought. And so here's the difference. As I've gone to Christian concerts, and this is, again, not about secular and Christian music, we have that discussion another time. But as I've gone to Christian, what I realized the difference is when you're at a Christian concert, for the majority of folks are pursuing instead of escaping. And so here's what I want to tell you. If you want to live a life that's curious this year, you've got to not escape the world or try to be a good person or try to get away from all the bad stuff. That can't be your goal. Your goal is going to have to be pursue Christ and know him like you've never known him before. There's some of you here tonight that don't know Jesus. And I want to tell you, I would love the opportunity to tell you about him tonight. And any of these leaders would love to tell you about Jesus Christ because he's changed our lives. And he's made our lives, in some ways, hopefully, curious to those, an unbelieving world. Okay? I'm going to take you to a passage, Acts 19. This was a passage this summer that we talked with our leaders about. And it's kind of this random, you guys know Acts is a tough book, if you've been in that book. There's a lot of stuff going on. God's developing the church. There's a lot of the Spirit's powers being unleashed, and Paul was doing some incredible things. Okay, and God was using Paul. And these people started watching Paul, and they realized, man, God's using him in a big way. And they started to want to be like him, or kind of take a shortcut to have this power that Paul had. So what happens is some itinerant Jewish extremists who had happened to be in the town at the time tried their hand at what they assumed to be Paul's game. See, when you don't understand something, here's what friends are going to do to you. They're going to look at your life, and if it goes on and off, if some of the time you're kind of into that Christ thing, but most of the time you're not, they're going to go, oh, they got a game they're playing. That's Bron's game. It's not really that he knows Christ and loves Jesus. It's that he's got this game he plays, and you know what? It looks a lot different on the weekend. It looks a lot different in the summer. Okay? And so they thought it was Paul's game. They pronounced the name of the master Jesus over victims of evil spirits, saying, I command you by the Jesus preached by Paul. Okay, you know what I was thinking about for you guys? Here's what a lot of people do. Not only do people strive to live good lives, but they also try to take shortcuts. And this is what you're going to be tempted to do, just like I am. You're going to be tempted to not really pursue Christ because you're going to go, man, what I'll do is just kind of try to know Christ through when I go hear Bron speak at Shoreline or I hear my small group leader or Todd say something cool. I'll just kind of live my Christian walk off of these little fill-ups about an hour a week. And you know what will happen? you will be whipped. You will be tired. You will be frustrated because your walk's not your own. And you're trying to live off somebody else's time in the Word and somebody else's prayer life and somebody else. You're just kind of looking at them and say, hey, by the Jesus that Bron talked about, Lord, man, I want to live for you. And so I want to challenge you to this year again. Pursue him like you've never pursued him before. It's up to you. Now, friends and community like we talked about today are an important part of that. But it starts with you coming to know Jesus and putting your trust in him and really pursuing him. If not, your game will be obvious to others. Look what happens. The seven sons of a certain Sceva, a Jewish high priest, were trying to do this on a man when the evil spirit talked back, I know Jesus and I've heard of Paul, but who are you? And then the possessed man went berserk, jumped the exorcist, beat them up and tore off their clothes. Naked and bloody, they got away as fast as they could, as best as they could. See, what happened was these guys tried to claim the name of Jesus, and what happened? The Jesus they really didn't know. And you know what happened? They got whipped. And you know what? That was a good thing that God did. Because if God would have let them get away with, hey, in the name of Jesus that Paul talks about, even though we don't know him, if he'd have let them, you know, if he would have empowered that, that would have gave them a sense that they could take a shortcut and not really have to surrender their lives really to God. You know what? Don't be deceived, gang. Don't be deceived this year. You cannot take a shortcut. You can, but you'll at the end of the year, you'll go, man, that was not the year I wanted to have. Maybe you just came off a summer that's what you did. You took a shortcut. You said, you know what? I'm just going to kind of live off the Thursday morning Bible study, or I'm just going to live off, the one mission trip that we did, or whatever it is. Boy, I bet you're tired. I am. When I do that, when I try to live off things and events and stuff, I just get tired and I get frustrated because the fruit of the Spirit isn't active in my life. So you see these guys trying to do that. You know what it reminded me of? When I was at a camp called Kids Across America, camp that with affiliated with Kanakuk, I used to do program there, okay? And I would go out with these inner city kids. Some of you know this about me, but I would go out and I would do an impersonation of Michael Jackson. Okay, now this was when Michael was a guy. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I shouldn't have said that. Take that off the tape. No, but when he, before all the, anyway. So I used to do, the Thriller album was the hot CD or album or whatever it was back then. And I would get up and I had the Jerry Curl wig on, the glove and all the stuff. And I'd go out and I would sing like Michael Jackson. Some of y'all don't believe me. But I would go, she was more like a beauty queen of a movie scene. Scandamanda. See, I'd just do a little of that. And they would, listen, these kids, these inner city kids would go nuts, okay? But let me tell you something. At the end of the day, they knew I wasn't Michael Jackson, thankfully, okay? And they knew that I was just doing an impersonation of him. Here's my question for you. Are you impersonating a guy who walks with Christ or a girl who does? Do you kind of see what somebody else does and really you're not pursuing Christ on your own? You're not really developing a relationship. You just kind of see other people and you just kind of do impersonations of their behavior. If so, guess what's going to happen? You will get whipped. And your life will not be curious for very long. See, at the end of the day, when we try to take shortcuts, when we try to impersonate, when we try to strive to be good people, God in his mercy is not going to let us live there very long and not be one, in a life that is curious. Well, here's the last thing I want to share with you. This is the beginning of what I think a curious life looks like. Look what happens here. Let's go to those next verses, William. It was soon news all over Ephesus among both Jews and Greeks. See, what happened was they saw these guys get whipped. First, they saw Paul. God was using him. He was in the name of Jesus. He was doing all this incredible stuff, and he really knew Christ. Well, then you got these guys that got whipped, and so the realization spread that God was in and behind this. Okay? I love that. See, what happened was when God didn't allow their plans to succeed, and when he did allow the plans of Paul to succeed, people knew that God was in and behind it. And you know what happened? There was a reverence for Christ that came over the land, and it changed people's lives. Okay, and so I want to tell you tonight, this is the only thing we're going to talk about the rest of the night. And then we'll talk some more as we continue the series. But tonight, what I think the beginning of a curious life for you starts with your reverence or your healthy fear of your relationship with Christ. Now, what I mean by fear, I don't mean fear like you should be scared of Christ, but I mean a healthy fear, a reverence, an honor, that you should think of him and go, man, you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and I want to live my life to honor you and bring glory to your name. That's how you should live. And if you don't start there, then what happens is when you sin, when you struggle, when you get tired and all that stuff, it doesn't really bug you at all. You're not grieved because you know what? You've never really put Jesus in the kingly place that he needs to be. And see, what happened with these folks, when the reverence came across the land, when this healthy fear of, man, he's God and I'm not, and I've got to worship him and I've got to live my life for him, it changed the way they behaved. So here's what I want to ask you about. Here's what reverence, a healthy reverence for Christ, will bring in your life. First thing I would tell you is it brings sensitivity when you grieve the Lord. What I mean by that is, I want to ask you this question. When's the last time you were convicted about a sin and you just, man, you were so heartbroken because you thought about how it grieved the Lord that you did that? When's the last time? If it's been a while, then I want to encourage you to increase your reverence for Christ. The second thing I would tell you is that it would bring obedience. When I was a young man, and when my dad would tell me something, my reverence for him and my love for him caused me to be obedient to him. Now, it wasn't always right. But I'll tell you, most of the time, the reason there was a sensitivity in me that I didn't want to disappoint my dad because he loved me, and I wanted to honor him, and it led to obedience. Let me ask you this. How are you doing in that area? Is your life, because see, obedient life is a curious life today, isn't it? An obedient life to the Scripture is really one that stands out. So how are we doing there? Third thing, it brings priority. What I mean by that is that you start to look at the eternal stuff over the temporal, or you start, as we talked about a week ago with the juniors and seniors, you start to look at the unseen stuff, and that takes a high priority in your life versus the seen. You guys can probably think of examples of that. I mean, the seen stuff might be sports or popularity or all the stuff that we get caught up in, and we need to go, Lord, the first person I want to please and honor is you. And from there, guess what? The Scripture says, seek ye first his kingdom, and all these things shall be added unto you. That doesn't mean everything's going to go your way. What it means is that's the order we should live our lives. So priority comes when we honor the Lord and we have a healthy fear of him, a reverence for him. How are you doing on priorities? How are you doing on making the Lord your number one priority? If you don't, your life will not be curious and you will be whipped. Fourth thing, and it's kind of these fourth and fifth, I want to just put those up together. Loyalty and commitment. You know what? I'm loyal to those that I love. And I'm asking the Lord to help me to be loyal to all of the people because in a sense that I want to love them like he loves them. But I'm loyal to my wife because I love her. And I want to put her ahead of myself. See, we will be, when we have a healthy reverence for the Lord, we are loyal to him. We love him and we'll live our lives for him. And our commitment to him will be unwavering. Now let me tell you something. That commitment doesn't mean that we won't make mistakes. It means that when we do, commitment says, I confess it, I ask your forgiveness, I ask the Lord's forgiveness, and I keep struggling well to be committed to him because I revere him and his name, and I want my life to bring glory to his name. Let's go back to that last verse. I want you to look at this last one. I love this. Curiosity about Paul developed into reverence for the Master Jesus. How come we can't put your name in there, or can we? Can we put your name in? Curiosity about Patrick? Curiosity about Aaron? Curiosity about Katie? Developed into reverence for the Master Jesus. Wouldn't that be incredible? If people looked at your life and said, man, I'm just so curious about the way the Lord's working in your life, the way you serve people, love people, you're honest about your shortcomings. And I look at it and I go, man, I just have to have reverence for Christ now because I see he's real. He's changed your life. What if all of us, what if God grabbed our hearts so much this semester that people saw this curiosity? What if we weren't impersonating or taking shortcuts and we just really pursued him? And so, Lord, can I walk in your spirit? Can I walk with you? Can I know you like I've never known you before? What would God do through that? It would be incredible. Guess what? It starts with you. It starts with you saying, Lord, I'm not going to live perfect this year, but what I want to do, one thing I can do is pursue you with all my heart. And so I'm going to ask you guys, live curious lives among the about non-believers and believers. So they look at your life and they go, man, I'm so curious about that, that I just have to recognize that Jesus has changed you. Let me pray. Well, God, we are challenged by these guys in the scripture in Acts that tried to take a shortcut, tried to basically have a game where they tried to invoke your name, but they didn't really know you. And Lord, that's the same game we play. We invoke the name of Jesus all the time. We sing about you, Lord. We pray to you in groups, maybe. But Lord, if we're honest, we're really not pursuing you, some of us. And Lord, I pray that people would not leave here discouraged tonight. They would leave here encouraged to do it because you are there waiting to fill us and use us. And God, it's an incredible privilege that curiosity about us could bring reverence to your name. Would you use us this year? Lord, we don't want to play a game. We don't want to strive to be good. We don't want to impersonate real Christ followers. We want to be real Christ followers because of the way we know you and walk with you. Would you convict us where we're not? Would you convict us where we don't revere your name like we should? And help us to walk in your ways with integrity and love for you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, I am really excited about all you freshmen that have come up. Let me tell you something. We are excited that you're with us, okay? And let me tell you something. And folks that are new tonight, please fill out a club card for us. We